It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Prophetic Secrets of Earthly Jerusalem, City of the Great Serpent. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is the cathedrals with Remind Me of Calvary, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
When my heart is filled with pain and I'm tempted to complain, remind me of Calvary. When my hope is all but gone and I've almost lost my song, remind me of Calvary. Remind me of Calvary.
Remind me of Well, today we have a tremendous program. You simply must, not only yourself, but bring your wife in there, and bring your husband and your neighbor, and go get friends. And you've got to grasp the meaning of this. Many people write to me and they say, Tex, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to the United States in the last days? How are things going to round up prophetic wise for the whole world? Well, I tell you, I want you to look not at the United States, because you're going to figure out what happens in the United States when I tell you today what God says about the prophetic nature of Jerusalem and Israel. This is not just some program about the Jews, Israel, Jerusalem. This is what God says in his word about that important subject. Now, I know if you've gone to church for any length of time at all, whether it's the Southern Baptist or a non-denominational church or Assembly of God or Pentecostal, whatever church you've gone to, the evangelicals try to convince you that the prophecy of Israel is very simple. Here's what they say. Number one, God will restore Israel in the last days. Well, he's already done that, they say. In 1948, he brought the people back into their land in Israel. That's step one. Step two is that God is going to destroy them. And he kills about two-thirds of all the Jews. You see, all the nations of the earth will round about them and seek to destroy poor little Israel all by itself. So first, God brings them all together to Israel, puts them in one place, and then he brings all the nations against that place to destroy them. And step three, if it weren't for God coming in to rescue them, they'd all be dead. But there will be a small remnant left, and they'll recognize Jesus, the one whom they slew 2,000 years ago. So there's three steps then. First, God brings them all back. Second, he kills most of them while they're there. And third, he rescues them, finally, the few that are left. That's all you need to know about Israel, isn't it? Except, of course, if you don't say everything wonderful about them, if you don't bless them all the time, giving them money and military armaments and everything that they want, God won't bless you. That's step four. There it is. That's prophecy for Israel. But wait just a minute. You see, I was sitting at home just the other night. Just the other night, and I said, God, there's more to your Bible than that. And not only that, but these things are not even true. I'm reading your word in the New Testament, and what they're saying is not true. And I asked God, please help me to prepare a sermon message on what the prophecies, what your prophecy is toward Israel. It didn't make any sense to me that God would bring them back, evil as they are. They've rejected Christ. They've totally rejected Christ. They blaspheme Jesus Christ in their own Talmud every chance that they get. Why would he bring them back just to destroy them? That's sort of silly, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to bring y'all back, then I'm going to destroy you. Why don't he destroy them where they're at? What's that all about? There are only about 18 million Jews in the whole world. It'd be easy to destroy 18 million people out of 7 billion total inhabitants. Why does he bring them back? Well, because the evangelical community say, because he promised them he would bring them back. He promised it to them. They would have all that land. Of course, then all the nations on earth would come up against them after they get the land, and, you know, then God would come and fight for them. Well, he would fight for the holy city, Jerusalem. That's the city that every Jew is prayed for. The Bible tells us to pray for it. It's the wonderful, holy city. The city of God. The city where the temple is going to be rebuilt. Now, I've just told you shortcut what the people are saying about Israel. Now, that's why you really don't see any book, and really there's no sermons being preached about the prophecies of Israel or the prophecies of the Jews. Because nobody believes that there are any prophecies. They believe God doesn't have any prophecies for them. He's got three or four little steps for them, and that's all. What if that's a lie? What if none of that's true? I had a gentleman who wrote to me this last week, and he said, Tex, I'm very disturbed. Said, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I'm thinking constantly about this. My pastor, he went to this large church. My pastor says that you're wrong about Israel. And he said, it all gets down to this. My pastor uses the Old Testament. He goes to Genesis chapter 12. And he says, it says right there, we're to bless the Jews. And if we don't bless the Jews, God's not going to bless us. He refuses to talk about the New Testament. So it's all right there, Genesis 12, the Old Testament. Then you come along, Tex Mars, and you actually use the New Testament. Now, that's what's got me confused. You use the New Testament and prove things, and he sticks with the Old Testament. And he said it all really comes down to the covenant. God gave the people of Israel the old covenant. Then he comes up and gives them a new covenant. But my pastor said the old covenant is still good. The old covenant still is in effect. So which is it? Is it the old covenant or the new covenant? That's the key. The old covenant is covered in the Old Testament. The new covenant is in the New Testament. And my pastor said God promised that old covenant would last forever. So is it the old covenant or the new covenant? Now, I don't use my common sense on these things, folks. If I did, I'd just tell you the truth. If you, I've been out there in the market, and there's a choice between old clothes and new clothes. If I got the money, I'll buy the new clothes. Now, there's the old house and the new house. If I had the money, I'd buy the new house. There's the old car and the new car. I think I'd want the new car. I ask myself, just common sense, why would God give us a new if he's going to keep the old there? That degrades God. Let me express it this way. There's the old covenant. Then Jesus comes along and gives us the new covenant. But wait, the Jews can keep their old covenant. And the Christians can keep the new covenant. But what if you're a Jewish Christian? Well, then you can keep either one. Our God is not a blooming idiot, my friends. He uses common sense. He has more common sense than these stupid people out there who have a paradigm problem. The stumbling block for these people is simple. They don't use the scriptures. Now, I wrote this gentleman back, and I said, I am privileged to answer your question. And I gave him the actual verses. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 through 11. Read them, and then tell me whether the new covenant or the old covenant is the one we're supposed to pay attention to. The new covenant replaces the old covenant. Folks, don't you get it? Goodness gracious. When Jesus came, everything changed. Oh, no, it didn't. No, it did not. They're still the old covenant. You know about sacrificing the old red heifer and the priest sacrificing in the temple and all that kind of stuff. And there's the thing about, you can eat this and you can't eat that, and you can do this and you can't do that, and do this and that and this. And there's the do's and the that don'ts and all that of the Jews. All that's still in effect. Wow. Yeah, that's the law. You got to obey the law. The law is the Old Testament. That's the old covenant. Jesus said, I'm going to write the law on your hearts. But the Jews don't have it on their hearts. So they got to have it written down. They got to, they got to go to Deuteronomy and all that and read all the Old Testament. And that's right. And soon the Jews, a remnant of them, are going to be saved, and they're going to go to the Old Testament. And they're even going to bring back the sacrifices. You've just insulted Jesus, buddy. You better shut up. They're going to bring back the sacrifices. They're going to sacrifice doves and birds, and they're going to sacrifice a red heifer. Of course, because shedding of blood, that's the big thing. Folks, Jesus is the one sacrifice for all time. Jesus came and gave his body, his very life for you. And then you say, well, it wasn't good enough for the Jews. They still need that red heifer, man. They got to be sacrificed in their temple. Oh, yeah. Jesus wasn't good. His sacrifice wasn't good enough for them. Oh, no, you got to keep that old covenant around so we can sacrifice that red heifer. Are you kidding me? Jesus is a change. Jesus is a positive change. Jesus is the only thing that counts. The old covenant is gone. Paul says in Hebrews 6 through 11, that old covenant had faults with it. It had faults. Oh, it had faults. Oh, text just said it had faults. That's right. It didn't have the sacrifice of Jesus. It didn't. It was the sacrifice of animals. It was maybe a good substitute at the time, till a better one came along, till a better covenant, the perfect covenant. Wow. You folks out there that believe this nonsense, you're insulting Jesus Christ. What do you mean the old covenant? He says, my pastor believes in the old covenant. You better tell your pastor, he better call me on the phone. No, better yet. Don't call me. Just tell him to read Hebrews 6 through 11. In fact, let me ask everyone out there today, when this program is finished today, get out your Bible and read Hebrews 6 through 11. Hebrews 6 through 11. It's written for the Hebrews, for the Jews, and Paul tells you exactly, Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, because the old covenant is vanishing. It's gone away. And Jesus saw fit. He decided to give us a new covenant. And when did he decide to do that? Before the foundation of the world. He had it all planned out. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. And he said, this is a new covenant. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't believe in the new covenant, you're not a Christian. I cannot say it more forcefully than that. If you don't believe in the new covenant, you are not a Christian. What is the new covenant? That Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh. He was not in the flesh in heaven. He was the Word that was with God from the very beginning. He was with God, and he was God, and he saw fit to come to earth. I don't know why he did. None of us are worth it. I'm not. You're not. Don't tell me you're worth the life of Jesus Christ, the suffering he went through. But he did it for you and me. And he told the Jews, none of you obey the law. That's what Jesus told them. You've got the law, but none of you obey it. So the Apostle Paul said, so Jesus decided to come himself. And if you believe in his work on the cross, boy, what a mighty revelation that was. That Jesus himself came. The old covenant, that's a nice historical fact. Read about it. Read what happened in the Old Testament. It's worthy to read. But don't believe that, because Jesus came and he brought a better covenant himself.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.